welcome along to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast, hosted by me, Robbie Lyle. Today's show, my co-host is Flex, the Manchester United fan. We'll be hearing from some real football fans on how their teams have got on so far this season. We go on the spot with Jamie O'Hara, and Flex is going to be taking me on in Challenge Robbie. Hi, welcome along to the first edition of the Real Football Fan Show podcast, made for the fans by the fans. Every week, we're going to be focusing on all the teams in the Premier League, and I've got a very special guest joining me today. It's Flex from United Stand, which is a YouTube podcast or blogger or vlogger, whatever they want to say.
Channel, you know, fan channel.
Channel, fancy, you know. It has so many names, but you guys, one of the biggest channels out there. And he's a big Manchester United fan. And welcome along to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. First edition, first episode as well. So
you're the lucky one. Now, listen, we're going to be touching on Manchester United. It's an international break, of course. So there hasn't been any games this weekend. Let me just ask you, first of all, before we get into the next section, the international break. Yeah. Do you like international breaks?
Hate them, man. It's just
so
it's
dead, isn't it?
Boring. It's just so. Oh. And they've tried to jazz it up with this UEFA Nations League thing, which, to be honest with you, I haven't got a clue what it's doing. I saw someone got relegated from this thing. I think it was Poland got relegated out of their one and go into the B one. And I don't even really understand what it means if you win it, what you get automatic qualification. So then what's the point in the normal qualifiers? I don't understand it. It's just a jazzed up way for UEFA to make more money and put a gloss on these dead friendlies that we're playing all the time. That's all it is.
And it hasn't really, I mean, you know, I think that England game the other night when they played Croatia behind closed doors as well. You know what that game showed me, actually? That showed, and let me just make it clear on this show, because this show is for the fans, by the fans, it showed the importance of fans. Because look how dead that game was.
Awful.
When you've got no fans in the stadium.
Got no fans. It was, rubbish, mate.
It was terrible.
Awful. It looked like a loading screen on FIFA when you're waiting for the game to actually start. It was terrible. And then because they got all them different coloured seats, I actually got tricked into thinking that there were people at some stages. You know what I mean? Like, my mind was doing all sorts. And then you could just hear the players shouting and all that. And I just put the TV on mute anyway because you couldn't hear anything. And it was terrible. It was awful.
It was terrible. Awful. We hate the international break, but we love the Premier League. Now, let's take a look back now at some of the games from the Premier League so far through the eyes of the fans.
It just took brilliance from Lacazette and Aubameyang. Simple as that. That's what we paid the money for. Mm. We was crying. Remember them days we was crying? We only had Giroud as a striker. We used to say we need a striker. We were crying, striker. We've got them strikers now. Look what they've done. They've got us the goals that we needed.
You know what I always fear? When we come back off international break, United, we always seem to struggle in that game. We always get a tricky away game. And you know what? We tired towards the end there and they came on. They put balls in the box, put pressure on us. But we held on. We played well. But that first half again, it should have been about 4-5-0. And then some reason the second half, just that switch again, it's good half, bad half. Mm. Just can't seem to put two halves together.
Nick, sum that up, mate.
Mate, Alex Ferguson, Eric Cantona, Brian Robson, are you fucking watching? We fucking gave your boys a hell of a beating.
This is Liverpool's first big test and they were shocking today. We stopped everything in the first half that they threw at us. Second half, we sat back far too early. But other than that, we were all over them.
Does that paper over the cracks?
Of course it fucking does. We were shit there.
Second half, we come out, we got the goal quick. You understand? Then we got the third, the fourth, the fifth. Settled. We're above them, man, now. You understand? We're above you, man, now.
In the next 5 or 10 years, we'll be like one of the biggest clubs in the Premier League. We've come from the dark side of the league. We've come from the second division. And look where we are now. We're making a difference to the Premier League. We are the future of football. You get me?
Wow, some really passionate fans there, as usual. And some of the most passionate fans there, Flex, were Manchester United fans. Now, Manchester United, have got off to a very poor start this season. Eighth in the league, which is, for by Manchester United standards, that's poor. 7 points off Manchester City, your arch rivals at the top, and Liverpool, your two arch rivals, which compounds it and makes it even worse for you guys.
All right.
Just laying down the facts. You've been beaten by Brighton. You've been beaten by West Ham. You've been beaten by, humiliated by Tottenham at home. It's a 3-0 at home. Pogba is arguing with, Jose Mourinho.
Who so isn't arguing with Jose?
Martial, Valencia. They've all fallen out with him. Yeah. Mourinho appears to be losing the plot every time you see him. I mean, he's really under a lot of pressure, under a lot of stress. You had that last game against Newcastle just before the international break where you were losing 2-0, and a lot of people were saying, right, if this game ends up like this, that's it. Jose's out of a job. The players pulled off a brilliant comeback to win by 3-2.
Yeah.
And it's all great again for Jose, is it?
Funny enough,
on the show, on the Real Football Fan Show, the last one of the series, we had two Manchester United fans arguing at the start of the show because I asked them the question, did you actually want to lose that game? Because I know there were some Man United fans who were saying they wanted Manchester United to lose the game so he would be sacked. There was one fan who said, yes, I wanted him to lose. There was another fan who said, no, I never want Manchester United to lose. Where do you stand on that?
100% the latter. Like, no matter how bad things are, I just can't watch us and, you know, celebrate conceding a goal. Like, I just can't do it. And it's almost like you've been through it so many times with Arsenal. With the manager, you wanted him gone, not you specifically, but, you know, a lot of Arsenal fans. And it's like, but when game day comes, it kind of all, we get sucked in as football fans. I'm a proper football fan. Like, I can't celebrate my team losing or conceding a goal or playing. I just can't. Even if I know people could say the bigger picture is you might get what you finally want, not at the expense of points. Because that's what we're still playing for points, you know, and you can't wish those points away.
Do you want him gone then?
Yes. There's a lot wrong at Man United. That's not just Jose Mourinho, but the footballing aspects of it that are nothing to do with the board, it's inexcusable, some of the decisions he's making, the players he's falling out with. Yes, some of them players, you know, you need to put your own performances in and set that. Like, but if you're a manager of a football club, especially the size of Manchester United, it's your job to create an environment for them players to want to work in. And even if you're not a football manager, even if you're just a manager in real life, in any job, it's your job to provide an environment that's comfortable for your workers. And you have to be a good man manager. A good man manager knows that you can't tarnish all of your employees with the same brush. He tries to deal with them all in the same way, which is that the tough love, I'm going to criticise you in public, what I say goes, or it's all about me. It doesn't work. And, you know, I think with the style of football he's played as well, that style of football only works if you deliver. If you deliver the trophies, if we were winning top honours or challenging for top honours and a little bit short, you'd say, do you know what? Well, we missed out on the league by 3 points. You know, we win every game 1-0 and we just nick it. It's Jose. But if he's known for that. But if you're not delivering that, Jose, then what's all this talk of, you know, he was good.
Man management skills has been one of the things in the past that he's been known for. Why is it at Manchester United now all the players seem to have fallen out?
I don't think Jose's moved with the times. You look at the modern day footballer, whether you think it's rightly or wrong, there'll be people out there who are saying these guys are on, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds. If someone says you do something, you do it. But at the end of the day, they're human beings first, before the money, before any of the contracts. And the modern day footballer doesn't really take criticism well. You know, the old school fan will say, well, in my day, you know, I get that. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You can say it's right or wrong, but the facts are there are some players you've got to put your arm around. There are some players you can't dig out.
Why can't some of them players take the responsibility?
Some of them do. Some of them need to in certain aspects, but I think they've been dug out so much that it's like they're afraid to make mistakes. And even away from the man management style, if we just talk about coaching, if we just talk about improving players, utilising players, buying well, implementing a strategy, an ethos, a way of playing. Like, we don't.
Funny enough, you said buying. That's another one I forgot.
Buying.
That's another play he's falling out with. He's falling out with the whole lot.
And that's what I'm saying. You talk about things like, you know, I talk about the common denominator. You know, you can't fall out with this many players and all of a sudden it's only Pogba. He's fallen out of a bag of players. And even Hazard coming out in the press this week saying, oh, I'd love to work under him again. He's easy to say that. Now, why did he down tools when he was playing for him? He didn't do it then. He's just trying to keep the coast clear in case they both end up at Real Madrid together.
I don't want to worry you too much, but let me just tell you about some of your upcoming fixtures.
Oh, here we go.
All right?
Here we go.
So, coming up this weekend,
yeah.
Chelsea versus Manchester United. Chelsea, yeah. You are unbeaten. Play really, really well this season.
We never win there.
At home.
Even on a good day,
right?
We never win there.
The fans at Chelsea, not too keen on Jose Mourinho anymore, even though he won titles for them when he was there.
Yeah.
Follow that up. You've got Juventus at home in the Champions League. Juventus, brilliant team, right? Then after that, straight after a tough assignment in the Champions League, you then face Everton at home. You got a good record against Everton normally, but they're a good team.
It could all be over by then, mate.
They brought in a lot of good players. Then even the week after that, a game that normally you'd say looks like an easy game, Bournemouth away.
They're above us right now.
Bournemouth have been on fire this season, unbeaten at home. Yeah. You're going to have to go their away. Following week after that, you've got Juventus again, away from home.
What are you trying to do?
Away from home.
What are you trying to do? Right?
And then following up that one, the Manchester derby, you go away to Man City.
Listen, mate.
Do you think Jose will still be in the job after all of those games? I mean, if he does well in those games.
Yeah, it'll change everything.
You would have, but those everything. Are some tough, tough games he's got coming up.
100%. I answered some questions on our show. Me and Mark Goldridge are actually talking about what we think the destiny will be after this batch of games, because you have to look at that with what's currently going on, because that Newcastle result.
It's the run from hell.
It is. It, you know, you look at it in terms of the Man United of old, or the club that we are, we should be embracing this game and thinking, right, we've got, you know, there's a chance to put challenge and. You know, but with the position that we're in now, you look at it with the confidence of the players, it's a tough, tough run of fixtures. And the question what was posed to me, which I guess is what you're asking, is, you know, will he maybe still be there at the end of this little batch? And I actually predicted by that City game, end of that, I think it could be curtains. I honestly do think it could be curtains because, yeah, we came back against Newcastle. Fantastic. They're a poor side. They're a very poor side and we shouldn't have even been in that position. If we go 2-0 down against Chelsea or play how we've been playing against Chelsea, we'll lose.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other teams at the top that are playing really well. Of course, the top three is Manchester City, Chelsea and Liverpool. All three of them on the same amount of points. 20 points, all three of them. All three of them playing really, really well this season. All three of them unbeaten. Which one of those do you think is going to win the league this season?
I think City are going to win it again.
You can say it. I know it's
not. No, listen, man. Anyone who knows me, they know I'm not shy to say it as it is, innit? Like, regardless of bias.
You think Man City?
I think Man City will win it. I think Chelsea will be dark horses. A lot of people, you know, kind of slept on them. But you know what Chelsea do. They have a bad period, change their manager, then they're out. They're not in the Champions League as well. So they quietly go about their business and then they get past Christmas and they're in there. So you can't really discount them. Liverpool, I think with the Salah thing, he's not quite maybe firing as much as he was. They're getting through a few games, but I think they will probably fall short of that big, big title push. I think maybe Chelsea.
You think
will
so?
Be,
I mean, they are.
Yeah, they'll be up there.
Areas that they got criticised in last year, Liverpool, goalkeeper position.
Yeah. Centre half.
They've gone out. They've spent a lot of money to strengthen those positions.
Yeah, central
and they do have a very strong squad now.
They do. I just feel that I think Chelsea, I think they've clicked. And I think that, whereas even I would agree that I didn't think at the beginning of the season, I think they'll definitely be challenging. I think they'll be up there. I think it's definitely a three-horse race, but I think Chelsea will come second. I actually think Chelsea
will come
second.
You say a three-horse race. What about Tottenham and Arsenal? Because you've got Arsenal in fourth on 18 points. That's only 2 points behind.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got Tottenham on 18 points as well.
Yeah.
Also only 2 points. But why are they not mentioned in it?
Because I think that the longer the season goes on, I think Arsenal will have a decision to make the further they go through the Europa League as well. I think that could be a big thing for them, because if it starts going wrong, you know, they've been picking up results, maybe not playing as well as they can do, which is a kind of positive, but if they get a couple of defeats, they could find themselves in a bit of a, you know, a little sticky situation. They've got a lot of tests to come. I think the run of games that they've had have been very favourable for them. Yes, they've had to beat what's in front of them, and in past seasons that hasn't always been the case, but the teams that they've played have been quite, you know, winnable games.
Taking a look at the bottom.
Yeah.
After 8 games so far this season, Cardiff in deep trouble. bottom of the table with 2 points. Newcastle also on 2 points. Huddersfield on 3 points. Mm. Now, they're at the bottom three at the moment. Cardiff, we knew they were going to struggle because they're basically a championship team that have come up and haven't really spent much money. Newcastle, though, I mean,
same old,
no,
isn't it?
2 points, no wins this season. Now, this is looking desperate for them, and they could, I mean, there's lots of rumours going around that Rafa Benitez, the manager, could walk if the team's not strengthened in January.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him. They're lucky to have him. Mike Ashley, he's just a volatile, like a toxic figure in amongst that club. Yeah, he obviously the owner, and he's put money into a certain extent to get them to where they are, but you only have to speak to any Newcastle fan to know how much they hate that guy.
I've never met a Newcastle fan that likes him yet.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they've wanted him gone for so long. He's reluctant to spend. He doesn't want to put the money in to kick them onto the next level. So they could be down, and it'd be his fault.
Fulham are struggling at the moment as well. Spent a lot of money, way over £100 million in the summer. They've only got 5 points. Yeah. Southampton as well. That's another team.
Mark Hughes always walking a tightrope, you know.
Hughes,
that guy is always walking a tightrope. He gets away with it all the time. I remember when we was doing some of the VT stuff, a lot of people were saying, this was last season, you know, who's your favourite to go down and all that, or who was the worst manager? And they were blaming him. He left Stoke in a bad position, basically got them relegated.
He left Stoke and they got relegated.
And they got relegated, and then he kind of kept Southampton up in the end, but he hasn't kicked on, and, you know, he's looking like a man on a tightrope already.
Player of the season so far for you? Got to be Hazard, innit?
I'm trying to think of away from the main one.
You're trying to think of a Man United player you could slot in.
I definitely can't do that.
Yeah, we know you definitely,
I definitely can't do that. Yes, it's got to be Hazard.
Worst player. Got a couple of candidates at Man United. Alexis Sanchez could be mentioned in there
He could be the worst player in the last 9 months. If you want to ask me that question, it would be him, hands down. Well, Mkhitaryan ain't playing, is he? Can't even get in the squad as well. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that, is there?
Well, who told you to mention that? We're talking about Man United players right now.
You see what he does there, guys? All this talk, we give you Alexis.
Listen, I'd have to say Mkhitaryan has been a much better... in the swap deal that happened between Arsenal and Manchester United, Mkhitaryan has been much better value for money and has been a much better buy than Alexis Sanchez. He has been very, very poor. You've got to admit that.
100%. You know me, like I say it as it is, and he's been trash since he's come to us. Absolutely. Like I said to you, I think I said to you off camera before, like Space Jam, he's touched the basketball, they sucked his powers away from him, and he's dead now. Like, that's what it seems like. It's like a guy who's just lost his mojo. Like, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we've got a manager who persists in playing him, A, in every single game up until recently, and B, playing him off this left-hand side, which just isn't cutting it.
Listen, I caught up the other day with a very special interview with Jamie O'Hara. Jamie O'Hara, of course, used to play for Tottenham Hotspur, used to play for Wolves.
Portsmouth.
Also, big reality TV star. He was in Big Brother House. Guy's got a great story to tell. So I went on the spot with Jamie O'Hara, and this is what he had to say. Good to be here with Jamie O'Hara.
Nice to meet you, mate.
Hey, do you know, this is an Arsenal pub, you're on enemy territory, you know?
I know. I was a bit worried about walking in here, to be honest.
You started at Arsenal, though?
Yeah, I was an Arsenal graduate. Yeah, I was there since I was 11. At the time, they had such a good team. They had Vieira, Petit, Fabregas. I just didn't see myself getting in that side.
So you thought, go to a rubbish team? You dropped yourself in it there.
No, I did, didn't I? I was teeing myself up. So I felt like there was more opportunity to go to Tottenham because at that time they wasn't as good as Arsenal. So and to be fair, I wanted, you know, being a Tottenham fan, it was a kind of a dream come true for me to kind of. I had a lot of people that wanted to sign me. I was very lucky because I was quite highly regarded. I had Man United, Man City, Tottenham. So, but obviously for me, Tottenham was the one that I went for. And
same route as Harry Kane, isn't it? Because he started at Arsenal as well, didn't he?
And then, you know, I was a bit gutted when I left Tottenham because it was, I felt it was a bit premature. I loved it there and it was a fantastic club. And for me, I left.
You had a good time there though, didn't
you? Yeah, I think I ended up playing about sort of 80 games for Tottenham. And, you know, they gave me my debut. They gave me, you know, I played in Europa Cup, played in cup finals with them. So, you know, it was dreams come true for me to be involved in such a fantastic club. And what they're doing now is amazing.
And then on to Wolves.
Do you know what? I'm sorry to tell you this, right? But the two clubs you used to play for, all of a sudden, they've become super, super good, haven't they?
You know it mean? Seems to happen all the time. We got Fulham as well now, are flying, and I was there for a season. So I don't know what happens. I think I tried
you
to...
You set them up, innit?
I put them on their path.
Yeah, yeah. That's you what set I like them to on think. Their path, yeah, yeah. Wolves are doing brilliantly, aren't they?
Wolves are flying. And to be fair, I had a terrible time there. It was the worst time of my life.
Why?
It was just a nightmare. I got injured. We got relegated twice. I come back and got made a bit of a scapegoat in terms of, you know, they brought me in for, I think they paid 4 or 5 million quid for me, and I was earning good money. And it didn't work out. You know, I got injured, I wasn't fit, the team started to struggle, and they needed someone to take the fall. And that guy was me, to be honest. Mm. I was a high profile player. You know, I was being pictured in the limelight with my ex-wife, and it was just all turned into a bit of an absolute, you know, it was a nightmare. Mm. I feel like they treated me really badly because they were just quite happy to just throw me under the bus. Mm. And at the time, I was so just wanted to get away from it that I just took it on the chin, and I was in a bad place. I got blacklisted really in football. It was really tough for me. You know, I ended up trying to get trials to clubs that I would never even think about going to, and they were going, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen. So it was a complete nightmare, and probably the biggest mistake, and cost me a lot in terms of my football career going.
People don't see this side of football, do they? We as fans, we just see the glamour side.
Yeah, of course.
We just, he's on 50 grand a week. He's on. We don't see that side. You footballers, you're human beings,
and yeah,
you know,
of course.
You're
the thing is,
your emotions just like any other fan.
It went so well for me when I first went there. Well, I went there on loan, and then I kept them up. I played really well. I scored in the last day of the season. We got another Premier League season. But the season after was just a nightmare, and it really affected me because I'm a player who wears my heart on my sleeve, and I just wanted to do well for the club. And obviously, I knew they was paying me a lot of money, and it just started to just unravel and turn into a complete nightmare. And I could understand the fans' frustrations because they were seeing me. Like at the end of the season, we just got relegated, and I went on holiday with my ex-wife, and we got pictured, and I was on a nice big yacht. You know, every other footballer goes away, does what they want to do, spend money and whatever they want, but I got pictured on a yacht, and we just got relegated, and it looked really bad. So I could kind of see their frustration, and I've learnt from that because I was young. But yeah, it was people just saw me as the scapegoat and saw me as the one, let's blame Jamie O'Hara because he was the easiest ones to blame. But I mean, there was 24 other players in that team. I didn't play half the season. The chairman sacked two managers. We didn't have a manager for 7 weeks. You know, it just all turned into a bit of a nightmare. And really and truthfully, the club's turned itself around now because I think they've got rid of all the people that they needed to get rid of. The director of football there, he left. And the chairman sold the club, and you know now they've obviously got it right with the people they've got in, and they're doing great. It's a massive club. It's a huge club. I mean, I didn't realise how big it was until I went there, but they're very fickle fans, I'd say that's for sure.
We all are. Yeah. In the future, obviously, as well as being a very famous footballer, you're also a very famous, you know, TV personality now.
Yeah.
Which way are you going to go? You looking to go TV personality way, or would you get back into football? You're still in football, but would you go to coaching, managerial?
Yeah, so I'm doing my, I start my badges next week, which I'm really passionate about. You know, I love football, and I had a bit of a bad time with my headspace with football, and I think I needed kind of 6 months away from it to get my head right, because I played football my whole life, man. Yeah. It was all it was, and to get to a point where you're there, and then all of a sudden you're on the way back down, it's hard. So I needed to kind of regroup myself to be like this is where I'm at now, and still trying to enjoy playing the game. And I think now I'm in a good space with football where I'm enjoying playing football. I'm doing my badges, and I'd love to stay in football. The TV stuff's great, don't get me wrong. You know, there's opportunities there where you think I can take this or take that. But for me, I'm a professional football player. I have been my whole life. It's all I know. And you know, I've realised being involved with football is, you know, it might not be the Tottenhams or the Arsenals and that, but I still love being involved in the dressing room and being around people that love football. So I think for me,
if I can stay in football, whatever it is, you know, presenting, radio, managing, coaching, I think that would be the way forward for me.
Listen, it's been a pleasure to have you.
Top man, mate.
Brilliant. Keep up the good work. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Keep trying to catch up with Tottenham, yeah?
Jamie O'Hara there, and he had some really interesting things to say. You know what, as especially Flix, as fans, sometimes we don't think about some of the things he was talking about there, like at Wolves they got hung out to dry, and we're just like, get on with it.
Yeah,
you're on.
We're very
big
demanding
money,
as football
get
fans.
Get on with it. Score goals. Yeah. Do this. Do that. We don't want to hear anything.
The human beings first. This is what the primer thing. What I said earlier during this podcast about, you know, we speak about the money that they're on and that, but they're human beings and they're still going to react to situations. And injustice is the same way.
Do you know what I always say, though, right? And I don't know if this is the players or I don't know if it's the clubs. I think it's more the clubs. Mm. This is why they need to have a better relationship with the fans. Be more open with the players. You know, there's, you know, some clubs, most clubs in the Premier League, you can't get close to a Premier League player.
Mm. It's like they're in a different world, isn't it?
Yeah, so what happens is there's such a disconnect between the fans and these players that when these sort of things happen, the fans have no sympathy. They're just like, you're getting big money. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Why come to talk to us now?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you want to know us now because you've got problems, but why didn't you want to know us before? It's that perception.
That's it. And the players got to look at that from their point of view. I think there's a good few characters within the game who always make sure that they have time for the fans. So at Man United, there's players like Juan Mata, even Pogba to a certain extent.
Troy Deeney,
you know, Arsenal, you've got Aubameyang, he's very much, you know, signing stuff at Lacazette. And, you know, you see certain players that start to realise that. I think, especially with social media now, that it kind of, there are positive and negatives with it, but it kind of helped to bridge that gap between the fans and the players.
But there's still that, you know, I mean, go to any Premier League training ground. It's probably easier to get into GCHQ. You know, I understand that, you know, there'll be lots of fans trying to get into it. Yeah. But they've got to be a bit more open. You go to, say, for instance, Germany, right? And they have open training sessions where they invite the fans in. Yeah. And you know, the fans are more connected. Mm. At the end of each game in Germany, the players, they'll go over to the fans. They'll clap them, they'll salute them, and spend some time doing it. Our players, a lot of them, they're just like,
it's just a job.
It's straight off the pitch. Despite all that, we still love them.
Yeah. When they score.
When they're playing well. When they're playing well.
Because as much as we love them, and we say a lot of things about the players, as fans, we are fickle sometimes. All it takes for them to go on a little good run, all it takes for Alexis to score a hat-trick against Chelsea, and I'll be saying, see, it was all worth it. See? Do you know what I mean? That's what we're like, isn't it? So we've all got a little bit of that in us.
It is what we're like. Listen, it's time to get into Challenge Robbie. Now, if anybody who watched the TV programme will know that what I do is every week is I pick out three games from the upcoming fixtures and we predict the scores. If you get the exact score right, you get 3 points.
Yep.
If you get the outcome right, you get 2 points. And if you obviously don't get the result or anything right at all, you get 0 points, right? So Flex, I picked out 3 games for you to challenge me in today.
Yeah.
Chelsea versus Manchester United. You know I had to have that in there. It's the biggest game of the weekend,
it
anyway.
It is. No, that's understandable.
Bournemouth versus Southampton, which is a South Coast derby, although a lot of Southampton fans say that's not the proper derby. They're proper derbies with Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And Arsenal versus Leicester, right? So 3 games there to predict. Let's start off with Chelsea versus Manchester United. Man United going to Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, straight after the international break, early kickoff. What do you reckon?
It's whether I answer this with my head or my heart, to be honest with you. Because all logic and evidence tells me that we have not a chance of winning this game. Current form.
Then tell the truth then.
But
tell the truth, say it as it is.
But I'm going to tell the truth. I have a feeling that we can get a draw.
Remember them fickle fans he was talking about, yeah?
I have a feeling, probably against the all logic, but I'm going to say a draw. 1-1.
1-1?
Yeah.
Do you know what? The thing is, right, it wouldn't be unlike Mourinho.
You know what I mean?
To go there.
If ever I wanted him to do his part of the bus and get something out of the game, do it now. Jose.
This is the thing about Manchester United. They have some top quality players as well.
Yeah.
Top quality players that can, you know, if
we
they
can hurt Chelsea, exactly.
Yeah, and I remember when Arsenal was at Chelsea for that game, we had so many chances, should really have won that game as well.
Liverpool. And, they could have got something out of
it. Yeah,
it was an even game. Like, Chelsea are good, don't get me wrong, but if you go with a game plan and a bit of confidence.
Lots of reasons why Man United, you're right, they could get something.
You never know. But the form.
However, they're not going to get nothing out of it, right? They're getting nothing out of this game, right? Because Chelsea are going to beat Manchester United. I'm going for Chelsea, win this game by 2-1. Yeah. Hazard's going to wreak havoc on your defence. I'm sorry, United are getting done.
Okay. Fair enough, that's your opinion. I'm still going to stick with 1-1. I'm going to back that.
Bournemouth versus Southampton. What about that one?
Bournemouth are winning that. They're at home as well.
They're strong at home, aren't they?
Strong at home.
Unbeaten at home this season.
Exactly. Tough place for anyone to
and
go
Southampton
to right
on a poor run
and
at
Southampton
home as well.
Are absolutely struggling. So, yes, this is the Premier League and it throws up them results where you think, I didn't see that coming. But I'm going to go with I don't even think Southampton score. I'm going to say 2-0 win for Bournemouth.
Yeah. I think Bournemouth will win. Bournemouth have been playing brilliantly this season. That was a very impressive victory by Bournemouth going away to Watford, who've been brilliant at home and beating them by 4-0.
I mean, Watford's
gonna be
in top
pumped.
Of the league before. Now look at them.
Southampton are playing poorly. I'm going for Bournemouth winning this one. 3-1.
Okay, yeah.
Going to be an impressive win. And the final game that we're going to focus on for the challenge, Robbie, is Arsenal versus Leicester.
You ain't losing that. Leicester have been poor this season as well. I would say an Arsenal comfortable win of 3-1. Because you're still a bit dodgy at the back.
Still dodgy.
You know what I mean? You haven't been playing well from the back and you still
concede
goals.
Concede goals. Scoring a lot of goals this season, Arsenal, but conceding still. Although, I don't know. I mean...
Leicester.
It's all on Vardy if he's playing and that. Vardy always seems to score against Arsenal.
That's why I'd be 3-1.
The momentum's been stopped a bit, though, with Arsenal. They had that 5-1 win, but the momentum's been halted a bit.
With the international break.
By the international break. So I'm going to go for Arsenal winning this by 2-1.
You think that tight?
Yeah.
That cautious,
yeah. After the international break, you don't know what to expect.
Slow out the traps, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for 2-1 to Arsenal. Those are the three games in Challenge, Robbie. Of course, we'll give you the results next week.
Yeah, make sure you help me out once I've won as well. Don't just act
what
like
do you mean it, you I mean... once you've won? Listen to this guy.
Yeah, because when we get that draw, I don't want.
Who's going to bring it home for you, Man United?
Yeah, we'll get the draw.
You confident of that?
Yeah, because the other two are going to win.
You confident of that? He's got a drink in the studio. I thought he's drinking water. It could be vodka. What goal was better, Sigurdsson's one or Aaron Ramsey's one, Arsenal at Fulham?
The thing is, the team goal from the Ramsey thing puts the gloss on it. But to bang it from that far, top bins.
You're going to Sigurdsson one?
I rate that, man. I think
goals are better. How many different players were involved in the build-up to that goal?
Yeah, a lot. It's like that Jack Wiltshire goal you scored that time.
All it took was one little bit of it to break down and then that goal was not going to happen. Whereas a Sigurdsson one,
but then you could
absolute
say,
moment of brilliance, yes.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like
it's
he needed that moment
harder.
Of brilliance himself. Himself, nothing was really happening and he went, you know what? Watch this. And that was a winner
Don't
as well.
Don't get me wrong.
His was a winner.
What
that
a
was a 1-1,
finish.
Innit? Yeah, you lot done it when it was 4-1.
It was.
Like, you know, you could argue that Fulham were defeated by then. There's more spaces to explore.
You are a hater, aren't you?
I'm just saying. I said.
You're a stop
if you
hating.
Listen to the fact, I said you could argue that. I didn't say. I'm just saying you could argue that.
Let's put it out there to the fans. Team goals or individual goals? Which ones for you do you prefer? I like team goals. I like when there's that big build up and everyone's been involved. I love goals like that.
I like the element of surprise, if I'm honest. I like, because when you're watching Barcelona and good teams that play good football, you can kind of expect those things like patterns of play. So you're going to have more chance of finishing a great move because they pass the ball well. I like that whole, where's he going to go from here? There's nowhere for him to go. Bang! Oh my God. Do you know what I mean?
I like that team build up, man.
It's all about what you prefer. Let us know. Yeah, let us
through
know.
The lines. I love those sort of goals. I love the team build up. Okay, let's see what the fans have to say. Let us know. And don't forget to use the hashtag TheRealFFS. Flex, I really want to thank you for coming on our first podcast, The Real Football Fan Show podcast. We want this to be the best
100%.
Podcast.
Thank you for having
so
me.
So jump
man.
On it. Sure get involved
check it
right
out.
Now.
Yeah, check it out.
Get involved right now. Each and every week we'll be having different football fans on. Unless, I don't know, maybe if Mourinho gets sacked, he might bring you
yeah,
back
next
week. Yeah,
but that's the thing. With you lot's bias, as soon as something, even if we lose to Chelsea.
If Mourinho gets sacked, would you come back?
Of course I would. I would come back with a bottle of champagne as well.
Oh, come on, man. But no, thank you very much for coming on today, Flex. And as I said, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Rate us, review us. It's very important to do that. And follow us. Thank you. And we'll be back next week. You've been listening to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast, available to download each and every Wednesday on your favourite platform. And don't forget to rate us and review us. Don't forget to watch The Real Football Fan Show on All 4. Made for the fans,